Could you tell me your name, your address and date of birth, please?
My name is Joyce Davis and I'm 85 years of age.
Right. Yeah. What's your date?
1928.
Could you tell me what date it is?
The 10th of the 5th, 28, sorry.
Great. No, that's fine. So tell me a little bit about your background, your mother, your father,
well,
your siblings.
My mother and father were from London. And we came down here during the war. And I was only 11 when I came down. And we were down here for 2 years or so. And then my mother and father came. My mother came down with my other rest of the family. And because my father had to go to Chorley, he was working in Woolwich Arsenal. So he was transferred from Woolwich Arsenal to Chorley in Lancashire. So, of course, he wouldn't leave my mother down there with the bombing in London. So he wrote to my lady, Mrs. Davis, who was I billeted with, and he asked if he could find my mother rooms for them to come down. So they came down, but it was all in separate billets. My mother was in one, my two sisters, Grace and Mary, was in another, my two brothers was in another, and I was in another one. So we were all in the same road, but all in different houses, which was just sad because we couldn't get together, like, as a family. And then my father came back down here then to Woolwich Arsenal. He had to transfer down from Chorley to Woolwich Arsenal. And we lived in Aslavera then. We had a little cottage in Aslavera. So we was all got together then as a family. And then we had this house up in Brinterin then, which we called the hostels at the time. They were built for the factory workers, no, down in the munitions, you know. So we had one of those, 21 Elm Crescent we had. So we all just got together as a family then.
Did many munitions workers come from other places then?
Yes. Majority of them, I think, was Bridgend, you know, and Swansea they came, because my sister had to come from Aslavera to Bridgend. She had to travel by train. She was actually in a train crash going to work one day. Yeah, it came off the lines. Yeah. But she was all right. She suffered a bit of shock and all that, but she was quite all right. There's no injuries, just people just shook up, you know. But she used to travel from Swansea with my father then every day. Yeah.
So what about your mother? Did your mother, and she worked at home, of course, but yes. Did she do any other work?
No, she had 7 children, so she had her hands full there, yes. Yeah, so... Yeah.
Tell me a little about your education then. Primary school, secondary school.
Well, we didn't have a lot of education during the war because it was only half day. When I was in London, I had full education. We was in St Margaret's Catholic School in Canning Town. And, of course, when we evacuated first of all to Somerset. That was myself and my two brothers. And we was in this lovely accommodation, Mrs Hill. We lived in the Chestnuts, you know. But with the other children in the village and all the evacuees coming to that village, there wasn't enough room in the actual schoolroom. So we only had a half a day schooling, and the other half we used to take us for walks, which at the time we enjoyed it because we didn't have to be in school. Like all kids, we were just running wild. No, not wild, we was all organised, but we had the run of what we wanted to do. So really, I didn't have a lot of education. If I had done, I most probably would be in a better position than I was, but there we are, that's how it went. Everybody was under the same thing years ago.
Did you go to school around here when you moved here?
I went into school when I was in Aslavera, and then I finished when I was 14 and came to Bridgend then. I finished my schooling in Aslavera, yeah.
Was that something... Would you have liked to have stayed on in school, or was that something you were happy
to do? Well, we had to finish at 14, unless you won the had a scholarship or something and you went to grammar school or something, you know, which my brother did. He went to the Cowbridge Grammar, Pat, but that was because he was in Bridgend then. But I actually finished schooling in Aslavera. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. So what did you do after leaving?
Well, the first job I had was in the greengrocer shop in Bridgend, Cook's greengrocer shop. And then I finished there and I went into Woolworth. My sister and I was doing the window dressing there in Woolworth, and I loved it. We had really good fun there. And then I was wanted to save up to get married because I was only getting £3 a week in Woolworth, and I wanted to save up. And I remember when I went to Christy Tyler's, which my sister got me the job, the one that was there previous. Remember my first wage, £5. I thought it was a millionaire when I heard that, because £2 was a lot of money in those days, weren't they?
So what year would that have been then, when you went to Christy Tyler?
Let me see. I went to Christy Tyler's. Let me think now. 51, I think I went. Yes, 1951. Yeah.
So you were a bit older then.
Yes, I was about 20. Let me think now, 20, either 22 or 23, I'm not quite sure. I think between the 22 and 23 mark, you know? And then from then on, I stayed in Christy Tyler. I know I did finish once because they made us redundant. They used to, and what they used to do years ago, it used to be if you had the orders, you'd work until the orders were finished, and they'd put you on short time. And then, of course, it came then that they... it went too bad and they put us redundant, and I had a job then in metal plastics.
Okay then, thank you.
Had the job in metal plastics, making jewellery, you know, and I didn't like it there, I didn't like the foreman. He wasn't playing fair, you know, and I just finished there, and then I went into Stampers then for about 3-4 months.
So sorry, were you in these places before you went to Christy Tyler's?
I was in Christy Tyler's first.
Yeah. Then, well, let's stay with Christy Tyler's a minute.
I see.
Because I'd like to ask you a few more
yes,
things.
Yes, all right, carry yeah. on.
So you say your sister got you the job, did
yes,
she?
Yes.
Did you have to have some kind of interview or anything?
No. Let me think now. No, I don't think so. I just, as far as I can remember... I mean, they knew Grace, and she said that her sister wanted a job, and I just went in and had the job. I was on the machines at the time. I was doing machining.
Right. Did you have to have any kind of training? Do you remember?
No training. Just get on with it, you know?
Yeah. So they just showed you what to do?
Yes, just showed you what to do. It wasn't as like making a something with fabric, you know, that had to go onto the actual furniture. It was like they used to make the spring bags, you know, with canvas, like in squares, and then you had to put the springs inside and then sew them up on the other side so that when they put them in... Because they used to make home seats there, the first of all. And they used
the what?
Home seats, they used to call them.
What are those?
It's like a cushion with a metal frame and the arm pads. That was just after the war, you know, they started doing those.
Right.
Home seats, they used to call those.
Right.
And of course, they used to flute them then. And the springs used to be inside, you know.
What do you mean, flute them?
Well, it used to be like a long rod with the wadding in. And then, of course, the actual cushion itself, before it was upholstered, used to have the ridges coming down. And they used to put the wadding through on this pole, you know, and pull it on the other end. Hmm.
So what would that have been then? Was it a kind of cheap kind of armchair?
Oh,
something?
No.
Oh, right.
It was good quality, Jeff, but that
yes.
was the type of thing they were making after the war, you see.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, it sounds... sorry, I just thought...
No, you say.
It sounded a little bit more... as substantial, say, as an armchair or something.
Yes, it was. It was just nice. But the only thing is it had a metal frame instead of the wooden frame, you see.
I see.
Mm.
All right.
Until they actually went into the better quality furniture then. It was a good quality furniture,
yeah.
But then they went up market then, you know, they did more things,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
And then used to do all the exhibition work then, which I used to sew. The men had upholstered all the furniture and I had to finish it off with the slip stitching, you know, do all the... final finish of the job.
So when you first went there, were you on some kind of line or...
Yes, the machinist line, yeah, yes.
So what did the day consist of then?
As regards to what now?
Let's say, what time did you go in the morning?
I think at that time we started at 7 o'clock and worked till 5. As far as I can remember, because then the hours started, we used to start at 7:30, it was 7 to 5, and then it went then 7:30 to 4. We had less hours, they cut the hours then, you know.
Did you have to clock in?
Yes, clock in, clock out, yes. That was the time card. You had it in the rack, and your numbers, you had a number, you see, and you had to clock in on that actual card. And they'd check on the time that you went in and the time you came out then, you see, because otherwise people would be doing a flip, you know, working at all. Yeah. So they had it all under control there. Mm.
What about breaks then?
We had one break in the morning and our lunchtime. Didn't have any in the afternoon. You worked straight through from lunchtime to the time you went home then.
Well, how long was your lunchtime?
It was half an hour in the morning, and I think it was an hour in the lunchtime.
Right.
Yes, it was about an hour in the lunchtime, yes.
So what did you used to do? Was there a canteen or something?
The first time I started there, no, there was no canteen. We used to take our own food, and we used to just take, if it's cold in the wintertime, we'd just take a tin of soup in with us and put it on the radiator and warm it up, you know, in the can. Which we wouldn't do now, but I mean, those days we used to.
Yeah,
things we did, honestly.
So how would you get to work then and back from work?
By bus. You'd catch a bus on Binterian here, and then it'd take you into Textile, which was the main place where the buses used to stop, and then you had to walk to your own factories then.
Right, and how long did that take you?
To get to the factory. Yeah. About half an hour.
Uh-huh.
That's from Binterian to the actual shop, you know.
And was that public transport?
Yes.
Then? You paid for it, did you?
No, I think... Oh, I can't quite remember now. Yes, I think it was. It must have been, yes, because they used to run the buses to the trading estate, you see. Yes, it was. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So, can you... I know it's quite a while ago, but can you describe the first day for me when you walked in, what it was like?
In Christy Tyler's. Amazing. I'm frightened to death. There's so much buzzing and noise in there, because, I mean, not being used to it in Woolworths, you know? I thought, my God, I never do it. And of course, you're nervous the first time starting. And my sister was saying, don't you let me down, you can't. Of course, that was at the back of my mind. But they were very friendly there, and they were very helpful. It didn't take you long to get into the swing of things, you know.
What about the size of the building? Was it
big?
Yeah, big.
Big.
And how many people would work there, do you think?
Well, with the men as well, because the men were working at the bottom end of the shop, you see, doing the fluting, as I said, with the home seats, and then people upholstering them, put them on the frames. About 60, I should think. 55, 60, that's a rough guess, that is, not accurately, but as far as I can think now, there's 1, 2. It's been about, say 50 at the most in the one shop. Because there was other shops apart from us, you see, the different sections. Yeah.
And say your shop now then.
Mm.
How many of you are women and how many were men?
Let me think now. When I first started, it was there's three on the fluting, and there was 1, 2, 3. There must have been about 10 men in the shop. Yeah.
So you're about
four to one. Yes,
then.
Yes, that's with the formal as well, you see.
Yes.
Yeah.
So quite a few more women.
Oh, yes, more women than the men in the shop, because the men were on the other sections, you see. They were doing all the framework and things like that, you see. So it was only the machinist, actually, that was in the one shop. And then the other parts, then they were the men doing, it was more men's work then. Because they used to dip the frames in this acid or something, you know what they used to call dipping?
Right.
And then another section then was the frames. You know, it's all different sections doing different parts to make the manufacturing of the actual chair there, you see. Mm. Mm.
So you'd go through the day, you'd start, what would you do the same kind of job all day?
Yes, when you were on that one job, but then they'd change you then. If somebody was out and they had to fill you in another job, they'd put you there.
Right.
Be very versatile. You'd have to go from one job to another.
And did you have to have training for any of the jobs?
You just get on. They just show you mine. Because they put me on one day. They put me on doing arm pads to put on these home seats. Well, I've never done anything like that. It was more or less like a small part of an upholstery, you know. But it's so simple, you know. Once you concentrate, they show you what to do, and you have to have a magnet and hammer and the tacks. You know. Well, it was. I said to my friend, I'll never be able to do this because we used to have a good laugh, you know. She said, we've got to do it, George. So we did master it in the end. But the manager came up and said, you've got to put those tacks in your mouth. Because the upholsters used to years ago, put it in their mouth, and then they put the tam into their mouth, and that's how they used to upholster. And I said to him, I'm not putting them in my mouth, I'm sorry. And my friend went, oh my God, Joyce. So I said, no. I said, I'm managing quite well on the table, and I pick them up from the table. I said, I am not putting them. God, I'd have been swallowing them if I'd have put them in my mouth. Can't hold anything in my mouth anyway. So anyway, I got away with that, and he said, oh, carry on as long as you do the work. So I managed it my own way there.
So you've told me about one piece of furniture you used to make. What other furniture?
Well, they went from the home seats then. They finished the home seats, and they went on the three-piece suites then.
Right.
And they used to do all exhibition work as well, which I used to be in that shop doing all the... Nobody else was allowed to sew anything with the exhibition, only me. They just put me in... They had exhibition things in London, showing the furniture.
Right.
And...
like Ideal Home.
That's it, yeah. And... because I had to be doing all the hand sewing, you know, and it had to be perfect, you know. You'd go over it like a tooth comb there, you know.
So that was all hand
sewing? All hand sewing. That's what I'm doing in the photographs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my job then. But once the exhibition finished, we went on normal sewing, you know. Anybody was doing that slip stitching, but I had to do the exhibition job, you know. So there you are.
Did you find the work quite varied? Or was it a bit, you know?
Well, when I was... Well, I came off that then, and they put me on cushion loading then, because they had to have certain loads for certain suites going out. And this girl, she wasn't doing it right, so Mr. Rook came up to me and he said, I'd like you to go on cushion loading, he said. I said, I can't do loading. I said, I've never done it. He said... You'll soon learn. I thought, oh my God, here we go again. So anyway, he put me on the cushion loads then, because the load had to go out to verify with the sweets that were going out. You know, they had to have the cushions all ready in the load so that when they had the sweets ready to go on the vans, the cushions were already there for them.
Oh. Were you aware where these pieces of furniture went to be sold?
No. The orders came in, you see, most probably from the other warehouses, I expect, see, and then they used to deliver them to the warehouse. Yeah.
Right. But, you say you were paid what seems like a very good wage.
Years ago, £5 was a lot of money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that your basic wage?
No, that was bonus on top.
That was a bonus.
Bonus, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So you did piecework then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you used to work overtime at all?
Did I? Three nights a week, Saturdays and Sunday mornings. Yeah.
All the time?
All the time. Well, for a long time, yeah. Whenever there was overtime. We had bought this house and it was a shambles, you know. My husband was doing the work, but we didn't have the money for other things because it was short at the time. So I was working, all the money, all the overtime going, but to get the extra money, you see.
Yes.
And I liked my job. I loved it. I didn't mind the overtime. Ray used to pick me up from work about 7, you know, and just fetch me home. And he'd have the tea ready for us, so I didn't mind. He'd cook the tea on that. But
This was after you were married, of course.
Yes, yeah.
So can I just ask you about that then? Did he mind you working?
No,
he didn't.
No.
And he didn't mind sharing with the children?
No, no, no. He's good. He's marvellous.
That was quite...
We worked together, you know, as a team, yeah.
So he'd make you your supper and look after
he's
you?
He's marvellous. He made my breakfast in the morning before I went out, because I'd be upstairs titivating myself up to go to work. And I used to start work earlier than him, because not early as such, but I started travelling by car then, and my friend used to pick me up a bit earlier, because she had to pick other people up as well, you know. So Ray used to have everything ready, and I put my lunch ready in the evening in the fridge. So all I had to do was just pack it in my bag then. Yeah.
So was there shift work in the factory as well? Or
No. No, just day work, but overtime, you know.
But it seemed to be open every day then.
Oh, it's open every day when the overtime is Saturday and Sunday, you see. Because you have to get time and a half on a Saturday and double time on a Sunday. So that was a bit extra again, you see. Yeah. Well, I loved it in Christie's. I really did. Because my husband used to say to me, Joyce, if ever you finished in Christie Tyler's, you won't know what to talk about. Because he used to say to you, what happened today? And of course, you'd tell him everything that went on, you know. Yeah, it was great there.
You said it was noisy in there.
Very noisy, with the machines, you see.
Yeah.
Very noisy.
What about the smell? Was it okay?
Well, I never noticed a smell, to be fair. In the wood mill was probably the smell there with the sawdust and that, you know. But, I mean, we never got that through to our rooms, you know. That was at the far end of the factory, that was, yeah. Mm. No, it didn't have anything like that. Not as far as I can remember, anyway. If it did, I didn't notice it. No.
What about what did you wear to work then? Did you...
Just normal clothing, but I wore the overall over my clothing. Yeah, as you said, do we wear... Is that the uniform? No, that was their own overall we bought.
So the company didn't...
Oh, no, didn't supply, no. No, no.
So where did you get your overalls from? Because you all seem to be in the same...
Yeah, that was the type of overalls we bought then in those days. And you had the waspy belts then to sort of smarten them up a little bit, didn't you? You know, because they'd be loose otherwise. Yeah.
What about any other protective wear? Did you have to wear anything else?
No, I didn't. No, no. That came in a long time ago after, yes, yeah. I think they used to wear the earmuffs in the wood mill, you know. They didn't at the beginning, but I think it came into force that they had to use them, you know, as far as I can remember, yeah. Because in the wood mill, it was very, very dusty with all the mills going and the sawdust, you know, it was very dusty there.
Yes, and very noisy.
Yes, very noisy. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. So how many of you, you know, all in all, worked in the factory? Because that picture you showed me of the dinner.
Yeah.
Was it hundreds, thousands?
Oh, it's hundreds, isn't it? Because, I mean, I can't quite really, because I don't know the other companies, you know, because there was the Western Upholstery that was next door to us, you see. Were they all included in that picture, you see?
Oh, they were different companies,
yes,
were they?
Western Upholstery.
Right.
And Christie Tyler's, that was the two sections in that one photograph, yeah.
So it wasn't the same company then?
It was all under George Williams.
Oh, right.
It was all under Christie Tyler's, but there were different sections, what they called.
See.
Western Upholstery was one section, and Coast was another.
Right.
And then it came to that the two amalgamated together, yes. And they just classed you all as one, you know. If they wanted a machinist from a short, they'd take one from Coast and put it into Western, and that's the way they worked it then, you know? Mm-hmm. So
what about unions then? Was there an union in the factory?
Yes, yeah. I was the first one to start up the union.
Were you?
Yeah, with the women.
Yes.
With the women. Myself and what was her name now? Oh, I can't think of her name. She's just gone. But she was the head one. And I was what do they call him now? I've got to think now.
Shop steward?
Shop steward, the deputy shop steward I was, and she was shop steward. And then she left, and I still stayed deputy, and Pat Williams was the shop steward then. That was the two, and we carried it on for quite a while, because it was the first union in Christie Tyler's to... started up with the women, because there was no union there when we started.
So, right. So why did you feel you needed to start up the union?
Well, the point is, there was a little bit of unfairness there, you know. If your face fitted, you was all right, and it didn't go down well with me. I don't know, it's not fair. You know, I like to think that, you know, I like to be treated the same as everybody else, you know, and they're all there for a wage. So it's one incident, one foreman there. A girl, she was ill, and she couldn't come in on the Saturday overtime. And she came in on the Sunday, because she's supposed to work the Sunday as well, because she said she'd work the weekend. And then he was going to send her home because she didn't come in on the Saturday. But there was also a girl who did the same thing. You know, she didn't come in on the Saturday, but he didn't say nothing to her about going home. He was going to keep her there. So I asked to go into the office with this girl, and I said, well, if she's got to go home, the other one goes home with her. You treat them both the same, because they're both under the same thing, that you're trying to make one incident with this girl and leave the other one off. So she stayed then. But that's the type of thing that went on, you see.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why we started up the union, right, to make sure that everybody had fair play.
So did you start it up with the woman who was the shop steward, or was it, did you, the two of you, get together? And
no, what it was, Alf Bascombe, he came from Cardiff to work, you know, and they were strong unions. That's where the unions started from Cardiff.
Right.
The Cardiff men came down to work in Christie Tyler's.
Right.
And Alf Bascombe was the shop steward in Cardiff, and he sort of got the union into Christie Tyler's. And he wanted the women to join as well, but nobody would take the shop steward job on until this lady said she'd take it on if I went as deputy. So that's how it started. Yeah. It was from the Cardiff people it was that started up the union, actually.
Mm. Right, right.
Mm.
So did it affect the way the management were with you, the fact that you were, that you were an unionist, a trade unionist?
Well, no, in as much that there was more fair play there, you know?
Mm.
And instead of them saying, you've got to do this and got to do that, which in some cases wasn't right, you'd have to go in and discuss it with them in the office, you see, and get things evened out.
And you found they were okay with
that? They were fine, yeah. Sometimes you had a little bit of an aggro, but if you stood your ground and made them feel that they're not going to push you around. I mean, we weren't aggressive in any way, we just wanted to see that fair play was done, you know.
Did you have any difficulty in persuading the other women to join the union?
No, they joined the union, but the reason I finished is because they'd come to complain to you, but they wouldn't come in the office with you to put their point forward. So, of course, I was worried about this, and my husband was a strong unionist as well. He was a union man in the power station. And he said to me, Joyce, tell them you'll go into the office with their complaint if they come in with you. If they won't come in with you, you don't take the complaint into the office. There's a difference. They didn't come and complain so much because they were letting you do all the work and sitting back and getting the benefit, and you got no appreciation for doing it. That's what galled me. I thought, no way. You know, I'm putting myself in the mire for somebody else and they're not appreciating it. So, but my husband's advice was good because it cut it then. They didn't come and complain so much then. Or if they did, they had to go to the foreman and put their point forward themselves, with us in the office, you see. They always had to go in the office with them to see the fair play was done, you know.
Do you think sometimes then they complained with no cause?
Exactly.
Right.
A lot of it was greed, because they thought they weren't having enough money, you know. Right. Well, I mean, if you don't earn them... they used to have a time and motion man there as well, you see, that type of thing. And they used to time them on the machines on a certain part of the article they were doing. And some of them had a lot of handling of the cover where they were losing out time, and that wasn't taken into consideration with the actual work time, so that had to be sorted out as well. That was a fair trade, that was, you know, somebody was there and they weren't getting a fair time. So we had to go in the office and sort that out, and then they give them time then for the handling of the material. Because some of it used to be PVC, you know, which was heavy work on the machines. Well, they were working hard and they were getting nothing for it, only their wage, you know, where other people had easy work, earning extra money. And these were doing really harder work, but having less money, you know. So that's the type of thing we had to sort out then, you know, to make sure that everybody had fair play in the handling of the work. Mm.
And the whole, was it something you enjoyed?
I did. As I said, I loved it. I loved every minute of Christie Tyler.
No, but I mean the union work as well.
Yes, I did, until it went a little bit too much with the girls, you know, and as my husband put it, wise, you know.
Mm.
And then another time, there was three or four girls, there was short time on, and they went and worked the weekends. Well, they wanted to ban them, you know. They had to go on away and stay away for about 2 or 3 weeks, you know.
Why is that, sorry?
Because they did things that they shouldn't have done, the unions. They shouldn't work overtime when people are on short time.
Oh, I see. Yes.
So anyway, and one of them was my friend, you know. I thought, oh my God, here we go. So anyway, I came over and said to Ray, my husband, I said, what am I going to do, Ray? He said, have they been branched before, Joyce? I said, no. He said, branch them. Take them to the branch meeting. He said, and then they haven't been branched before, they just have a warning. And that's what they did. They warned them and they went back to work and worked as normal then, you know. But Ray used to give me all the advice because otherwise I wouldn't have been so knowledgeable as I was. I used to come home and put a case towards him and he'd tell me and advise me what to do, like, you know.
Was it quite, you know, when you were a shop steward or deputy shop steward?
Deputy shop steward.
Yeah. Was it quite unusual for women to be officials in the union then?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
No.
You know.
Yeah. Could I ask you what union it was as well? I forgot to ask.
Oh, cracky Moses. Do you know, I can't think. Is the upholstery union it was, but is it the A? It wasn't the AEU. No, it can't be that. Do you know, I just can't remember. My mind had just gone blank.
It's probably in those...
Could be on those sections there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Were you still working in Christy Tyler when the Equal Pay Act came in? And do you remember how that was handled?
Equal pay. We didn't have equal pay, no.
In 1970, were you still there then?
70. Yeah, it must have been, because Ray's been gone 30 years. And I finished work when Ray went ill, so it's about 30 years.
In 1970, the Equal Pay Act came in. Do you remember anything about that? Did you ask the company to pay you equal wages?
What, the same as the men?
Mm.
No, we didn't have that. Definitely not.
Was there a lot of difference between your pay and the men's pay?
Do you know? I can't answer because they were all on bonus, you say.
Yes.
And the men had a terrific bonus, and the girls did, you know. But I was in the stores. I used to be a cover roller. What they said, showing I had three young girls working with me, and I had to show them what had to go in each section of the cover to make up the actual suite. And then I'd take them into the stores and store them up. And then I'd put them onto a load that went into a shop, and that was the load of furniture that had to go to a certain warehouse.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then I'd have to book out their tickets then and put in the bonus box so that the tickets they had was entered in the book. And they got paid by what I had down in the book, you see.
Right.
So the men earned terrific money, and the girls did mind.
Yes. And I suppose that you couldn't... Sometimes it wasn't comparable, was it, what the women did and what the men did?
No. The women were machinists. That's all they did, you know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they were the machinists, and the men were all the upholsterers.
Do you remember if your wages went up while you were there? Did they go up every year, or...? Do you remember what happened there?
I think they went up a little bit to what we were having, because, I mean, from when I first started there. Because I know when I was working the weekends, I was fetching home £100 a week. That was with overtime, man. That was 3 nights overtime, Saturday morning and Sunday morning, with a bit of bonus as well on top of it.
And when was this? What year would that have been then?
Well, I've been left there 30 years, so what's the 30 from 114? That's 84. Yeah.
So that was good money.
Yes. I was fetching her more money than my husband because I was having the bonus, you see.
Right.
That's fetching home pay with deductions and tax and everything taken from it, you know.
So that was what you That was actually could fetch put home,
yes, yes, yeah. yeah.
Right, well, that's very good then, isn't it? Yeah.
That's only if I worked the overtime, that was, you know?
Yes.
But most weeks I did. Like, it was a normal thing with me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I was going to ask. So, when you started working there, what did you do with your wages? Did you have to share? Did you have to give your mum
yes.
and keep?
Yes. I had £1.50 I gave my mother, and I had the other £1.50 when I was trying to save to get married. I'm paying my own bus fare into work, so we didn't have a lot to mess around with, you know.
But you did. Did you spend some on yourself?
Not a lot, because I was saving to get married,
yes.
wasn't I? You know.
Yes.
But what I used to have was a provident check. That used to be a thing in the past, and you pay weekly. And then you'd have the cheque out, but you didn't have it out until you paid it, you see.
Right.
And then you'd go down to Swansea, you'd got this cheque, and then you could spend it all on clothes, and then you'd start another cheque. And then you'd have to wait for that to come out again before you could go and buy again, like, you know. That's the way we kept ourselves in clothes, yeah.
When you did have some money then, would it have been on clothes that you spent it?
What, with the cheque, you mean?
Yeah, well, when you...
It was a cheque from the provident. You took
yes.
it into the shop.
Yes.
And they just marked off how much you spent, like, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, really, what was important to you when you did have a little bit of money to spend?
Clothes.
Clothes, yeah.
Shoes and clothes. I was mainly for shoes. Terrible.
What about, since you're a dancer, what about records and things? Did you used to spend some money on records?
No. No, my husband did. We had a radiogram. I didn't spend it. I let him spend his money on the records. I still got some upstairs, actually. Yeah.
Right.
You used to get them all from the Reader's Digest, you know, send away for the albums. Yeah.
What kind of music did you both like?
All dance music, yeah. And my husband used to like the opera singers and things like that, you know. Harry Seacombe was one of his favourites.
He
loved his singing, yes. He had some albums of Harry Seacombe's, yeah.
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 So you say you were saving up to get married. How long did you work for before you got married?
Well, I was 24 when I got married. And
I mean, how long did you work in the factory for, I mean?
In the factory? Yeah. Not long, because... I started in 1951 and I got married in 1954. So it's about over 2 years, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know the women who worked in the factory, were they all types of women, you know, young women, married women, older women with children?
Some of them were, yeah. When I first started, there was a lot of younger people working there, but there was a few married people, you know, because a lot of the girls met their partners in Christie Tyler's and married them, you know. Yeah.
Was that okay with the management?
Yeah,
you know?
I thought, yeah.
They were okay. Were they okay with people with children working there as well?
Yes, I think so, as long as they'd done their work all right, you know. Because sometimes on a Saturday morning we were allowed to fetch the children in if they didn't have anybody to look after them. We really shouldn't have been, because it's dangerous, like, isn't it, with a child? But it was just a concession they give sometimes, not very often. It had to be, you had to be in the know to be able to fetch them and ask permission. You just couldn't fetch them in, you know.
All right, so people used to take them in with their knowledge then?
Yes, only one or two,
one
like,
or two.
You know, there wasn't a lot there, no.
So, but and only say on the weekend, wasn't
only
it?
On the weekend, yeah.
So no crash facilities then?
No. And they weren't babies, you know, they were about 5 or 6, you know. But they sit quiet, they should give them a book or something, they'd sit on the chair and just while their time away, like, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was the work dangerous in any way?
No, not in our work, it wasn't, no.
So you don't remember any accidents or
no,
that kind of thing?
No, nothing at all. No.
What about the conditions in the factory? What about heating?
Heating used to be terrible when we first started there. Because in the winter time, we used to go on strike there because it was so cold. And they used to send for these cylinders of gas, you know, and put the gas fire on. It used to be absolutely freezing there. No heating.
Yeah, so what would happen then? Would you walk out until it was sorted?
Well, some of us did go out because sometimes it was bitter there. You couldn't work in it. It was really cold. But they used to give you, fair play to them, they'd give you a cup of tea and put whiskey in it, you know, to warm you up, you know. And I couldn't stand it. Oh, God, I couldn't stand whiskey and tea. No way.
No.
But that's what they used to do years ago, because as the years went on, the heating was put into the factory then, wasn't it? Just the starting off it was, yeah.
What about the lighting? Was the lighting...
Lighting was good. They had all the fluorescent lighting there. Yeah, it was very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Very good.
Can you remember, were you made aware of kind of health and safety and that kind of thing in the factory?
No, I don't think so. Not as far as I can remember.
And did they have, like, rules and regs for things?
As regards to what now, the...
Well, anything you can remember.
Yeah. I mean, they used to have first aid people there, you know, if anybody hurt themselves, right. You know, they had that. Oh, yeah, they were equipped with that. Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I suppose that...
But that didn't happen very often, did it?
No, I can't remember anything happening in Christie Town. Perhaps somebody would get their finger under the machine if they put their finger, you know, but it's only just like a little nick off the side of the finger, but nothing drastic, you know? No. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about the facilities then? You said there wasn't a canteen there to begin with, but... Was there one later on?
Oh, yes, across the road. There was a big canteen over there then, yes.
And what was the food like? Did you
very good, very good.
Did you...
Just canteen food, isn't it? You know, but it was always edible. You could have something on toast or just toast. And then in the lunchtime, you could have chips and things like that, you know.
So. What about toilets and things?
All very, very well equipped with toilets, yes. Yeah.
So you think the facilities
there were? Yes. They were all clean and that and tidy. We had a nice restroom where we could go and sit and have our lunch if we wanted to, if we'd have your own lunch, you know. Mm. You could sit in there and have it, make your own tea then, of course. But the facilities were all there. Yeah, they were very nice.
What about the smokers? Were they allowed to smoke on the factory floor, or did they...
Not on the factory floor, no, outside. Because they wouldn't be allowed to do that, because the furniture and the wood and things like that, you know, yes. And the wadding,
yes,
fluting and all that, be hazard, wouldn't it, to do that, no. So, and because the foam moulds as well, they weren't allowed anything like that.
Right. And where did they used to smoke then?
Outside, and they had to smoke.
Not in the restroom.
They went in the canteen. That was away from the factory. You see, they could smoke there, which was allowed, but they wouldn't be allowed to do it today, would
no,
they?
No,
but
no.
It was allowed then, yes.
Yes. Yes. And did they play music when you were working?
No. Oh, music? No.
No. So no singing or anything?
No. Oh, the girls used to sing, but I mean, there was no music with it at all. They just used to sing themselves, you know. Somebody would strike up a song and the girls would be going on the machine singing with them, you know.
Do you remember the kind of things you used to sing?
Just the normal old news songs, isn't it, you know?
You don't remember any sort of favourites?
No.
Right. And were you allowed to chat while you were working?
Oh, yes. Restricted like that, no.
What about going to the toilet? Did people have to ask? Or
no, just get off the machine and go.
Yes.
But the supervisor was there, you know, she'd know where, if you spent too much time there, she'd come and hustle you out, like, you know, she'd keep watch on you.
Oh, yes.
But you didn't have to ask permission.
No.
No.
Did they hold up the line at all?
No. Well, you was working on a bonus, so you wouldn't stay out there too long because you're losing time and money then, see, aren't you?
Yeah. How did you feel about that as a trade unionist, did you think that the bonus system was a good system?
Well, the last lot of system they had, they were on this bonus, and it just went all out of perspective. And I said to them, my friend, I said, you're making your times too much. You know, they were saying they needed more time, and they knew they could do it in less, but... Greed again, you see. And I said, you're cutting your own throats. I said, you'll be working for practically next to nothing. I said, the way you're doing it. I said, you're proving to the firm that you can do work. I mean, you're given a time on an item, and they give you a time. And then a fortnight after, it takes you longer than that to pick up your speed on the certain things, and you're earning about 100% bonus, where you couldn't earn it before. Well, it's telling the company, isn't it? You know, So anyway, they didn't take the notice. I wasn't on the union then. I was just giving advice to the girls, you know. Yeah. She said, no, she said. But then again, she said to me after, you were right. They were taking so much percentage back off their wages to keep them in jobs. Yeah. You know?
Yes. How did you feel about that? Do you think they were fair managers? You know, fair?
They were fair, but yeah, the people got greedy. They yes. spoilt it for themselves, you know? But they couldn't see it. So all they could see was money in front of their eyes, and yeah, they didn't look ahead, you know. Because I didn't have nothing. I was in my own little job. I was quite happy, quite contented. I had my same wage every week. I knew where I was. I didn't have to rely on all that, you know.
So this is later on, was it? You weren't yes. on a bonus then?
Yes. I had so much bonus because I was running the stores and all that. They allowed me so much bonus with the average of the shop, you know.
Right.
So that's what I had my bonus from. Right. Whatever was turned out, if it wasn't for the girls and that working and taking the work from the lines and rolling it and putting it in the stores and then me issuing it, and it's all teamwork, like, isn't it? You know. So
I suppose what I was asking, as somebody who knows a lot about it, what do you think the better system is? Paying people bonus, so. And there can be abuse on both sides then, can't
mm-hmm,
there?
Definitely, you know? Yeah.
Or do you think a higher basic wage is better?
Well, to be honest, a bonus is good because, as long as it's a fair bonus, because the people are putting the effort in, they're getting a fair wage, they could be slacking. You know what I mean? They're not putting the effort in that they could be putting in, which you do get these days, don't you? But, I mean, by a bonus system, they're working for themselves and they're putting the effort in because they know, but what the more they do, the more money they're going to get. Yeah, I think the bonus system is a good thing, providing it's done fair and square, like, you know.
Mm. And do you think it's enjoyable as well that you've worked very hard and you get this reward?
I think so. You know, because it's giving you an initiative to earn your money if you want money. Same as the date, you've got to earn it before you can get it, haven't you? But some people think they don't want to work for it, they just want the money and they lay back a bit, you know. Because I saw on the teamwork there, some of the people, you know, they sorted out it like a line, they worked together and they shared their bonus, you know, like as a team. But they sorted it out. There was a couple that was on the team at the time and they wouldn't work with them because they weren't pulling their weight. But they were getting the money that the other people were working for. So they wouldn't work with them on the team. They had another two people to come on the team then. You see, and that's how it worked, you know. They've got to put the effort in, which is only fair. You can't expect to have the same money as somebody else if you're not putting the effort in.
No.
So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. It does give you more initiative to work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a lot of that going on now, though, with the bonus, isn't it? It's a scheme that used to be years ago. I don't think it's happening now, is it?
No.
I don't think so. I don't hear of it very much.
Mm. How long did you stay as an union official for?
About 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Tell me about holidays, then. Tell me what your holidays were.
Oh, now I've got to think that. We used to have the odd days off, didn't we, the Whitson and all that. And I think it was a fortnight's holiday we had then.
Oh, was that paid holiday?
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. Only the basic pay. You didn't have your bonus. That was just the actual basic pay you paid on your holidays, yeah.
So did you have to take that? Did the factory shut down or could you pick your holidays?
Well, I think it used to close down as far as I know. I don't know about other departments where they allowed people who had to get these sections through, allowed them, and then, but they had to take their holiday. If they didn't take it then, they'd have to take it later on, whenever they wanted it, like, you know?
Right.
But it had to be with the concession of the factory, you know. Perhaps they had a job to do and they wanted them to work and they weren't going on holiday. They might do that work in that fortnight but take it off later on, you know?
Right, so the factory didn't shut down completely then?
Well, our factory
did.
I'm going about the others, that's what I'm saying,
right.
yes. I don't know about
but
the others.
But yours just
ours
shut down.
Ours used to close down, yes. Yeah.
So, where did you go on holiday?
Not far. We did start going. The first holiday we went to was Jersey. And then we started venturing out. We went to Spain, Italy, Switzerland. That's when we started getting on our feet a little bit more, you know? Yeah.
But to begin with, where would you go?
The first holiday I went?
Yes.
Well, we used to go around here. We went to Bournemouth and things like that. But no, we didn't go abroad anywhere because it was too much expense. We used to go by car then, you see, and just bed and breakfast. And just travel on, like, you know. Yeah.
Mm. So what about other days? Were you allowed days off for personal reasons, you know, and say somebody had to go to a funeral or something like that?
Well, you just tell them and they you just take the day off, yeah. But you had to tell them.
Were you paid for
No. Whatever time you took off, you had to lose, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, social life. Were there any social activities organised by the company?
Yes, there was, yes.
Can you tell me about those, then?
Well, I didn't go to a lot of them, but with the social club, you know, they had a social club there, and they used to have Skittles and all that type of thing, you know? But I never went to them, no.
Was it?
And they used to have Christmas things for the children on Christmas time, you know, Father Christmas and all that. It all came from the social fund. You used to pay so much a weekend, you know, for that.
So you all used to pay?
Oh, yes.
And then they used to have a Christmas party?
Party for the kiddies, you know, they'd have presents and things like that, you know? Yeah.
What did the company put on for you then? Did they put on anything on for you?
Yeah, the Christmas dinner, like you saw with the photographs. That was the company, yeah.
Can you tell me about that then?
With the Christmas dinners?
Yes.
It was just to be a good night out, you know, everybody dressed up, and it was, you felt really good because you went there and you had everything was put on for you, you know. George Williams and his wife were standing on top of the stairs greeting you, you know. You felt really on top of the world, you know.
Where did you used to go?
Pardon?
Where did you used to go?
The City Hall. The City Hall, Cardiff. Sorry, I was thinking about the photographs so well that I didn't think. City Hall, Cardiff, yeah.
And were they big dudes?
Yes, very big. And everything was put on to perfection. It was really, really worthwhile going. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I used to look forward to it from year to year, to be honest. Somewhere nice to go, yeah.
Did you always used to get something new to wear?
Yes, I did. Don't know about the others, but I did. Oh, dear.
Yes.
That was an excuse to go out and buy something there.
Mm. So George Williams used to own, he was the owner?
He was the owner, yes, yes.
And where did he live then?
Pencode.
Oh, so he's
yes, he had a big house in Pencode there, yeah. Yeah. He's passed away now, actually, yeah.
Was that recent?
I can't quite remember, I think it's about 4 or 5 years ago, friend said that he'd passed away, yeah. Yeah. Very distinguished man he was. He came in, you know, when he walked in, you had that air with him as well. Oh my God, everybody was on your toes. And the men used to call him yes sir, no sir, you know, that was the way they used to speak to him, you know.
So did he used to come into he
walked around the factory, yes, and he'd speak to the men, you know, he was very pleasant, fair play. Yeah.
Did he used to do any work in the factory?
Oh no. No.
I don't mean manual work. I mean, did he have an office or something?
Did he just visit? He had managers managing all the factory, Mr. Rook and all those, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, I can't imagine him doing any work. But you could see he was proper gentry, he was. He was really gentry. He had the look about him and the air about him and the way he came in and spoke to people. You could see he was gentry, yeah. He really was. Mm.
Did you used to go any trips, you know, like day trips from the factory arranged by the workers or the bosses? Or?
I never went on any day trips, no. The only trips I went to was on a Christmas time, so you took the kids to the pantomime, you know, that's the only trips used to go on.
And that was
all under the social, yeah.
Do you remember how much you paid every week to the social? Or every month or whatever you did?
I can't quite remember that. It wasn't a lot.
Just a few pence.
About, say, 50 pence.
Yeah, 10 shillings.
Well, 10 shillings, though. Mm. But 50 pence in those days, isn't it? Mm. No, it's 50 pence now, isn't it?
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
I'm getting all confused now. It's money. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. So, did you Did you enjoy working in the factory?
I did.
Yeah.
I loved it, as I said before. Yeah. I loved every minute of it. The people were so great. You had a good laugh there, you know. It was really good. Yeah, until all this money business came in with the bonus and everybody got greedy and watching one another, you know. You see, money is the root of all evil. Believe me, it's true enough, yeah.
What about job satisfaction?
Myself?
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
You didn't find it monotonous or boring?
No. I enjoyed every bit of it. I loved my work. I did really love it. Yeah.
So, when did you decide to leave and why did you decide to leave?
Well, my husband fell ill.
Oh, all right, I see.
And he had cancer, so I just finished then. I thought I was working for Ray and myself. What's the point, you know? And I just give my notice in. Yeah. Because I was made redundant because the factory closed and I had my redundancy money. And then about a month after, they started up again at the back,
right,
a smaller version. And Philip came and asked me if I... No, it was the same place. He came and asked me to start back and do the stores again as I was before and run the stores. And I said, "What? Why? Why do you want me back?" I said, "It's finished." "No," he said, "we're opening up again," he said. So, of course, I went back again then. And I worked there for a couple of years, then until Ray went ill, and then I finished then. Yeah.
Did you... And this would be very hard for you, but...
It was.
How did you feel about leaving?
Well, at the time, it got that I didn't care, because it had gone so hard to work down there. Not the work itself. I still enjoyed my work, but the people went so greedy, you know?
Yes.
They were quarrelling amongst themselves. They thought they had a little bit more than them. And I said to my husband, "I'm glad I'm not having that thing. I'm just on my own set wage and my own little job, and I'm out of it," you know?
Yes.
So I'd had enough by the time I'd finished. And, of course, when Ray went, I thought, that's it. You know, it just made up my mind. Because I used to say to Ray, "I'm not working there till I'm 60. No way." Of course, I didn't. I was 56 when I left there, isn't it? Mm. So, but I never regretted leaving it. Because, I mean, the Christie Tylers I knew, it failed to exist, you know?
Yes.
It wasn't the same as when I worked there years ago, no.
Yeah. Were you... Were you given a sort of farewell party? You were given a gift, weren't you?
I was given a golden watch for my 25th.
Oh, for your 25th.
Yeah.
Tell me about that then.
That was in the City Hall again, a big City Hall. And I felt really embarrassed when I had to go up, especially with George Williams. I'm standing there and everybody's looking. Oh, but it was a nice evening, you know? A beautiful watch I had. Yeah. But. My friend and I were both having the swatches at the same time. So she said to me, "You've got a better watch than me." I said, "You've got the same watch." It was exactly the same. But she thought mine looked better on me than it did on herself. I said, "Don't be so silly, Rose. It's the same watch." I said, "I'm going to have two different watches," when they presented them to two people at the same time.
Did you know her before you went there?
No.
But she'd started at the same time as you.
Round about the same time, yes. Yeah. I went a little bit over, I think. I was about 26 years before I had my watch. I think they were waiting for this other one to come up so they'd have the same time, you know.
So you could do a double party.
Double party, yeah.
Yeah. So was it a do then as well?
Oh, yes, it's like the Christmas do it was, you know. We didn't have it specially for us. It was on a Christmas time we had it.
I see.
You see, and they made it from the Christmas and they presented it to us on the Christmas time then, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you in contact with any of your former workmates?
No, a lot of them have passed. I am with Shirley, but I don't see her very often. She lives out in Coity, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't see her very often. She rings sometimes, but not very often at all. And my other ones, they've just gone, you know. Rosina, the one I was really friendly with, she had a brain tumour.
Oh,
so
dear.
She went on, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Looking back now then, how do you feel about the time you spent?
In Christie's? I loved it there. I loved it there. That was my, well, to be honest, it's your second livelihood, he said, that's all you live for is Christie's. But it was such a happy firm, you know. You didn't feel as if you were going to work, you were going to, you're working, but the atmosphere used to be so good there, you know. Everybody was laughing and joking, it was good, yeah.
Did you work in any other factories, you said?
I worked in metal plastics.
Oh, yeah.
For about, say, about 4 or 5 months. Because they put me off from Christie Tyler's, you know, but I went back there again, didn't I?
Yeah.
And
where was metal plastics?
That was on the trading estate. Making jewellery it was, you know. And we were doing soldering then, putting the clips on the backs of earrings, you know.
Right.
And I didn't get on with the foreman there. He didn't, you know, I wasn't being fair. And I said to my sister, I'm fed up with here. So she got me a job in Stampers then.
And what was Stampers?
Just making flit cans. I don't know whether you know about the flit cans for the flies, you know, they used to put the paraffin in. Yeah. And I used to be there testing the flit cans. And that I didn't like. And then, of course, when my sister told me, and said, the job's back in Christie Tyler's again. Do you want to go? I jumped at the chance. I was back then. I was there all the time then. Didn't go anywhere else. Yeah. So
do you think they were really good bosses at Christie Tyler's?
Oh yes, fair play.
That's what you liked about the place.
Yeah.
And what else did you like about it? Was it the people you worked with? Or?
Well, the people were good. You know, they were nice.
Mm.
I mean, you had certain people that you mixed with, other people you didn't, because they had their own friends. You know, but in all, they were quite friendly. You know. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, very good. Good. Yes.